Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on metaphysics, spirituality, paranormal, and healing. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona. They have offices in Sedona where they see clients from all over the world. And now, today's show with Roz, Ivory, Terri-Ann, and Melissa. Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sisters Show, down-to-earth discussions on spirituality, metaphysics, paranormal, and healing topics. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona, Arizona. We are Roslyn Reynolds, myself, Ivory Lanoue, Terri-Ann Russell, and we have offices in Sedona, Arizona, where we see clients from all over the world. Today's topic is shadow work. This is a good one. We were just having a little chat before the show started about that. I think so many people on a spiritual journey are doing this. They don't call it shadow work. So Terri-Ann, I'm going to let you describe, you know, what in your words is shadow work is.
So for me, and when I work with clients and myself, it's really diving into those unconscious programs that we hear. They run over and over again, like in the background, like on your computer, there's something running. So it's like an unconscious program, whether it has to do with fear, whether it has to do with resentment, whether it has to do with abandonment. So a lot of stuff from our childhood is embedded in that subconscious.
Yeah. And to me, you know what that is just really a term for doing that whole self-contemplation, really diving into why you feel the way you do, why you act the way you do or react the way you do. But, you know, it's funny because, not ha-ha funny, but interesting, through the years I've met people who, with a background in psychology, I can see that there's something very interesting about what they do. And I'll say, did you ever think about why you prefer that? And they will say, no. You know, like they just are really completely unwilling to look at themselves and examine why they feel that way or why they like a certain thing or don't like something. As long as you have that barrier up, you really can't grow very much personally or spiritually.
No, it really is a deterrent, I find. And some people don't know what it is. A lot of times when I have a client come in, they can't verbalize what it is. But once we start working together, and we dive a little bit deeper, you know, eventually it comes, oh, I didn't think of that. Or, oh, you know, we'll go back to a childhood memory or something that happened then. Oh, so that's when it really started. So, you know, a lot of those things that you've been told you are, that you should be. But like you said, it's some of it can be really heavy duty. And a lot of people don't want to uncover that. They're very happy with their head in the ground, I say.
And I think that's just, you know, to me, when somebody exhibits that mindset, I know that they're either not on a spiritual journey or they're just pretty early on it. And so when you are, I think you really aren't very in tune with doing those deep dives into examining who you are as a person. It can be painful. You know, I don't think there's a reason why they call it shadow work. You know, these things that our subconscious mind has us doing and we probably have been doing for a very long time. It is easier to just leave it on autopilot, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
But then what happens? Nothing.
I think
zero.
Yeah, and I think it affects your whole life. You know, I don't know that people realize it. But if you look back at your life, to your childhood, how you were raised, what you were told, how you should be, and then you look at your relationships that you've had with, you know, the opposite sex or your friends, and you can see those patterns that you were told are still exhibiting themselves in your life today. And that's when you really need to dive deep, because those unconscious things that we tell ourselves. And I think I read somewhere once, there's like 60,000 thoughts that we have per day. And so imagine if, you know, 50% of them are negative. So you're running this constant program in your mind that you're not good enough, or you have lack, or what it is, whatever it is. But you're running that, so you're bringing that forward into every aspect of your life, right?
Absolutely. Our subconscious mind runs a whole lot of our lives, and when you completely separate yourself from that and you don't take the time to look at it, is when we get stuck in things like our belief systems, I think is the biggest one. And you can relate that to how you were raised. If, let's say you were raised a particular religion, and so you're, all your family believes all the tenets of that religion, and you grow up with that belief system. But then at some point, and it usually does coincide with part of a spiritual journey, is that you realize, hey, that particular part of it, I don't agree with that, or I'm not sure that that works for me. And that's the start of it, where you're like, you know, maybe there's other things that I've been raised with that really don't fit for me as an adult. Things that I took for granted as being the facts for everyone, and maybe they're not. Any personal experiences with that?
With religion type based?
No, anything. Anything that you grew up with.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, we all grew up a specific way. I was raised very strict Roman Catholic. So you're a sinner from the day you're born. So you have this fear-based mentality that runs in this background program that if I do this wrong, I'm going to be punished. So from a child, I would question that. How could I be a sinner? You know, how could I go to hell? You know, I was just mean to my brother, or I told a little fib. But that's little stuff. But as you grow up and you start to learn and you're exposed to different types of people, you really find that your own, when you start questioning that, that's self-reflection, right? We start to look at, well, what is that about it? For me, a personal experience would be after I divorced, I started to date, and I really was self-sabotaging myself because I didn't believe that I was deserve this really wonderful man. So I would, you know, regardless of whether he was too tall, too short, worked too much, didn't work enough, whatever it would have been, I was self-sabotaging myself. So I had to look at what that was about, right? And it was because I didn't think that I was worthy of having this wonderful relationship. And once I started to uncover what that was, how do you go about that? What is that? What is that that's sitting in the back of my head? It went away.
I get that. I think that's a big one. I'm sure, you know, I see a lot of people with that same issue for similar reasons. And I think self-esteem is a big one, a big recurring issue for adults, you know, to wonder why they, you know, they might be successful in their jobs. They might even have a successful relationship and still feel like they're just not enough. They don't think that they're worthy. And that's a good starting point of going, okay, where did that come from? And it's not easy, is it? It hurts to go down through and think about painful experiences and painful memories that we went through. But how in the world do you ever uncover the cause if you're not willing to do the digging? It's a choice. You can live your whole life with the knowledge that something's not right, that you are acting or believing or reacting in a way that is not authentic to who you are now, or you can do something about it. I had a similar one to that, Terri Ann, is that because of a lot of sexual abuse, I really felt like, I feel like, you know, I had went through this whole period of time where I thought I really was only good for sex. Like I was only worthwhile if a man wanted me sexually, you know, and that was my self-worth. And I, it took me so many years of therapy and groups and self-reflection to get down to the bottom of it. Like I knew that it started with sexual abuse, but I had to go through all of that, all the instances and the emotions around it and how I felt at that age, and to get that gone. And now it's so interesting because I look back on how I felt then, and it's really like it watching a movie, a Lifetime movie perhaps. So it just doesn't feel like it was my life. But there was no way I could come to this place now where I'm very picky about like who I would date, who I would get into a relationship with, because I know I deserve somebody who's really good to me. I deserve somebody who's going to treat me right, respect me. And it doesn't bother me if I'm not in a relationship, really. It's just kind of a side thought. But everybody's got things, like, everybody has things in their life. And another one for me, a smaller one, it's kind of big in a way, though, does come down to religion. Like, I was like you, Tyrianne, was raised Catholic until I was 14, and then my parents switched to American Lutheran. And I was really heavily involved in the church. I was head of the youth group. I was a team leader on B weekends. I sang in the church choir. I went to church every week. But then around age 18, I had this epiphany moment, and it was due to a male member, an adult male member of the church, who I started hearing things about him, things that in his business dealings in the community that people probably wouldn't have spoken around me before I was that age, but I heard it, and it was very clear the hypocrisy that was going on, that he would come to church and be this pious man, a believer, a good man of the church, and then go do these terrible things in the community through his business dealings and the way he treated his wife and son. And I thought, okay, if that's going on with him, how many other people is it going on with? And I really started, I'm an observer. I mean, I'm just a born observer, man. I just started watching and I saw more and more and more of it. Not that there weren't plenty of good people at the church, because there were, and still great people, but I just realized, you know what? I don't have to come to this building to feel close to God. I feel close to God every day. I feel closer to God when I'm out in nature. That's my church, to go out in nature and just a place that is beautiful and feels good, and talk to God, and I'm around all his creations. A building is not God. It's not the only place you can go to talk to God. So for me, that was a big shifting point, because I moved away from organized religion. Not that I didn't visit plenty of churches. I love learning about different belief systems, but I'm always open to visiting, and that's fine. But it just really shifted from that point. And that was hard on my family, because I've mentioned this before, that some of them thought that meant I was an atheist. I'm like, what? How can I be an atheist? Like, I talk to God every day. I talk to the angels. I'm seeing the angels. How could I don't know. I just thought, since you didn't go to church. So sometimes I think repercussions like that keep people from doing the work and making the changes to live more authentically for what they truly feel and believe now.
Absolutely. And once you begin, I find it's really not as bad as you think it's going to be, right? There's going to be some tears. There's going to be some throwing things, maybe. Or, I journal a lot. So a lot of my feelings come out through crying and writing. And when I do that, it releases all of that. So however long it takes, and if it comes up again, then I need to look at it again, right? So doing those types of things, I think people just really think it's like this really horrible thing. But what I've found, even with my clients, is once you go through and you start doing this first peeling of the onion, right? We peel back these layers. Your actual physical life begins to shift. So you start to see some things going on in your life, positive changes for you. And then you go, oh, okay. So you're like retraining your brain now again, right? It's like anything else that we do. We have to retrain our brain. So let's peel back that onion again. Okay, now I've gone a few years and now it's coming up again. What do I need to look at that again about? And so we peel back some more layers, go a little deeper, really diving deep into what it is. Where is this coming from? Sometimes it can be past life stuff also that we hold within our ancestral DNA. So we have that in our cellular system. So it could be your mother's, your grandmother's, her mother's, and it could go back as far as 14 generations. So that is in there also. So you have to really find out, delve into what is that? Is it you or is it someone else in your family?
And you know, Terry Ann, this speaks to your work. You know, sometimes those behaviors and thoughts and fears go back to past lives. You know, it goes even beyond the current lifetime or our ancestors, and it's past life things. And I know I have a phobia that there's no explanation for in this life. I really do need to get some help with that. It's so bad I don't even want to think about it. But everybody's got things like this, and especially when you have fears or beliefs or blocks within you that you just can't figure out, like, why can't I get over this? Why can't I get past this? I think that's a good time to look at past life issues, because there's people who've had therapy through their whole life. They've examined, and they're getting nowhere. I think that just tells you right there, you've got to go further back. And it's always interesting to see how that plays out. But as far as this lifetime goes, my gosh, you know, I think we're just so awash. And now with media, TV, radio, internet, social media, the way people are bombarded with opinions and their the versions of reality. And I just can only imagine what it's like for young people now growing up, trying to sort through this of what's true for them. What do they really feel? What do they think is important versus what they're told is important?
Yeah, I think you have to look at the culture too. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
We grow up in a culture where, you know, it's sadly, I mean, it's just become very filled with rage and a lot of anger and hate that is allowed to just flourish. People are supported in that when they're on the social media. A lot of what's on television is like that. You know, it's not just what's happening in your family, although, of course, that's a huge factor. But when you have constant cultural bombardment, that shadow, that dark, you know, side that you have to bring forth, it's very difficult. And it is kind of like a bomb starts going off when you start trying to deal with all that.
Mm-hmm. It can really mess you up for a while, but the truth is there's great enlightenment and growth of all sorts on the other side of it. And if you don't, then you're sort of trapped if you don't go through it. And I've always said, like, the only way to get on the other side of pain is to go through it. You know, you've got to work your way through it. And that's true for this shadow work as well. And Cynthia, I thank you for joining us today. I just want to remind you, if you'd like to ask a question, you can just put your hand up like this, or you can open the chat room and ask it there. We'll be happy to answer your questions. Thanks for joining us today. So you want to connect your conscious and your subconscious mind. And if you don't know what that means, your subconscious mind is things it does, you're doing without even thinking about it. You're not thinking, now I'm going to take my next breath. I mean, you do when you're practicing breath work, but most people, that just happens. You're going about your day, your routine, subconsciously for the most part. Then when you have to, you're using your conscious mind to process tasks, to make decisions, to sort through issues, problems. But a lot of what we do is being controlled by the subconscious mind. So we're talking about just bringing those two together to work better as one unit and getting in touch with your subconscious mind. I know probably, it's so funny, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Am I into psychology? Did I get drawn to that field because I like to self-examine and help people through that process? Or do I like to do that because I got involved in psychology? I don't know, but both are true. You know, I really have always enjoyed self-reflection and trying to figure this out. And it's very natural to me to ask people, like when I'm seeing a client and they are talking about something that doesn't seem to mesh with who I know them to be, to just non-confrontationally say, have you thought about where that comes from? And if somebody's talking to me, generally they're on a spiritual path. So usually they'll just be like, oh, no, I haven't. I need to do that, you know? So sometimes, you know, people can see it when you can't. Other people outside of your life can see it easier. It's nice to be open to that because it's not a criticism, it's an observation. Raj, you look like you're deep in thought over there. The thinker.
I guess I'm in my analytical mode. But I feel like when we perfect, we all have.
Raj, you're freezing. You might have to go onto audio only for the moment. Try now, Raj.
Well,
we lost you at everything you said. We did not hear, so I had to stop your video. So can you say that again?
I don't know. It was just kind of a flow, sort of in my analytical mode, looking at how we get really, I think of it as being sort of sucked in to this darker, you know, the shadow side of ourselves. And if you don't get a grip on that at some point and really address it, I mean, and it is painful, of course it is, but we have to really look at that and we have to really dig deep. And everything you guys are saying is so true. And it's sad because you don't hear this said a lot. I mean, since I don't watch television, you know, I feel like there's an aspect that I miss, but I do watch YouTube and see what's going on television. And you don't hear people addressing getting taken, you know, how our thoughts and our emotions get taken into this dark place. And then we kind of start projecting all that negativity instead of turning around, looking inward and saying, okay, where the heck is this coming from? And
go ahead.
It's, you know, when you try to, I've noticed like when you're trying to help people and you try to bring that up to people, they're very resistant to looking back at themselves, to taking that look in the mirror and going, whoa, this is scary. Who's this?
Yes. I think one of the most common instances of that is when people have jealousy. And they'll think, well, I have jealousy because that my partner's a flirt or blah, blah, blah. You know, I've had reason to not trust. No, there's much deeper reasons why you have jealousy. I mean, you know, this is just one example, but jealousy usually boils down to self-esteem issues, and we're back to that again. Here we are, circled right back around to self-esteem. And when you really start looking at that, like, do I really have reason to be jealous? Do I really think that my partner is going to go off with every person I think get jealous about? Is that who they are? And if so, why am I with them? You know, if not, then where is this coming from? And it's almost always comes down to self-esteem and feeling unworthy of having somebody's love. So you're always waiting for that other shoe to drop. That's just one, it's a common example, but it's one I just see very frequently in clients and in life where people don't know why they're acting that way. They come up with all kinds of reasons and excuses without ever diving in and really getting to the cause. And it's probably something that started in your childhood. Most of these things are things that start in childhood. So you got to go really far back, and that's pretty hard to do by yourself. You know, I think you need somebody like a counselor, a spiritual advisor who's going to guide you along the way, keep you calm and remind you that that's the past, you're not going through that now, and help you process what's coming up so that you can really consciously understand where that kind of emotion is coming from. But there's many others Is what else can you ladies think of that comes up so often in readings, sessions, that fits under this category, like shadow work?
I would say a fear of abandonment to go along with that self-esteem. They've been abandoned before, either as a child or in an early relationship. And so a lot of times they carry that fear with them through. Going back again to the same thing, like what you said about jealousy. They feel like this person, no matter how good they are, is going to abandon them. So they bring up all sorts of things that of why, you know, they would do that to them. But, you know, I always say to people, like, have you ever like talked to your siblings and you've grown up in a house, right? And you've had totally different experiences. Don't you remember when that happened? And my brother will say, that never happened.
Oh, my God. You too. I have this thing in my family. Like, I decided if one more person in my family says that never happened, I'm going to say you don't get to define my experience, you know, because it is so true, Terri-Ann. And, you know, there's all these studies. I was just talking about this recently. All these studies that come out from police departments about, let's say 20 people are present for a crime. When the police interview them, they're going to get 20 different stories with all kinds of different details. And the reason is that each person's in a different place. They're focused on a different point of view. They're noticing different things from each other. Memories are poor. You know, so let's say something happens in your family, Terri-Ann, and it was really kind of directed at you. It affected you, but it was just a peripheral thing for the other siblings. They're either not going to remember it because it wasn't that important to them, or it wasn't something that affected them strongly, so they're going to have spotty memories, if anything, about it. Doesn't mean you didn't have that experience. You know what you know. You know what you went through in your life, and for somebody to tell you that never happened, it's sort of like being gaslighted by your own family. It's like, stop that. So, you know, you have to remember not to do that to your own family and friends too, though. You might not remember. I've had people tell me things that they're like, remember when you did? I'm like, I don't remember that. And four people were like, I was there. And I'm like, I don't remember that at all. That was a group of friends, but it was something that was important to them. And to me, it was just another moment in life. So these things happen. And I think that, it's very easy to not dive into these situations because somebody tells you it never happened, but you know in your heart it did. So I think it's really important to just trust yourself, trust your memories. You probably didn't get 100% right either. Not, you know, any of us, we're not, our memories are not perfect, but it happened. Oh, let's see. I don't have my glasses on, so I'm blind as heck. Cynthia says, I love psychology too. I see so many people who cannot take responsibility for themselves and who continually project. Most people I have known are not interested in delving deep within and becoming conscious. Okay, I totally agree with you, Cynthia, and I get it. You know, we see it all the time, but it's back on that thing. We have to respect the fact that many people are not even on a spiritual path, which if they're not on a spiritual path, they're probably not reached the point where they're doing a lot of self-reflection for personal growth either. And we just have to respect that and go, okay, I recognize that. I see where you are. You probably haven't put your full foot on the path, that maybe not even a toe. No problem. I'm going to leave you alone about that because you're clearly not ready. People will freak out sometimes when you ask them or suggest that they look at something. And it can be surprising. I mean, you ladies have probably seen it. Roz, let's try to get you back on visually again. Maybe the signal's better. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I'm going to try to get you. I can't do it. I think you have to do it. To get your video going again. We have the worst internet in Sedona, so this is just something we have to deal with.
It says that I can't start my video because you stopped it.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Here it is. Here we go. So let's see if it'll work. It'd be nice to be able to see your face. There we go. There she is.
It's the usual Sedona video.
And now you know why I have to do the show from my home. Terri-Ann does it from her home and Roz is at the office because if two of us try to do the show from the office, it just shuts the whole thing
It
down.
won't work.
No, it won't. So this is our Fridays. That's all right. Keeps life hopping, doesn't it? Keeps
Always
it
a
interesting.
technology adventure.
Yes, it is. Oh my goodness. I'm trying to think of some other things that comes up in clients, and especially that seems to be a recent running theme.
I would say lack.
Lack? Oh yeah. Scarcity thinking? Or just worry? Yeah. Oh yeah.
There's never enough. There's never going to be enough. So, we have to either hoard or we have to, keep it all to ourselves. Especially today with the things that are going on today, you see a lot of that. People are out, buying up all the toilet paper because they think toilet paper is going to be non-existent and the world would end if you didn't have any toilet paper.
I'm not even going to tell you what my backup plan is. I appalled several people, so I'm going to keep that to myself. But
You're always so practical, though.
I am, and I think I'm just not as delicate as some people are. What can I say? Whatever. Anyway,
That's a
what I
whole
was going
nother
to
show.
say, along with that lack thing, is the whole thing of scarcity in general. Of I think when people are worried about money all the time, the true, when you really dive down under that, there's this belief that either they don't deserve to make more money, that or they're never, they'll think to themselves, I'm never going to make any decent money. I'll always be living hand to mouth. Well, first off, you're creating that, you're putting that intention out there and creating that reality for yourself. So please don't do that. But secondly, it comes from when you dive down under that, it is often that you grew up poor, and so you think that's the way life is supposed to be, or somebody's told you you're never going to amount to anything. You're going to be a welfare mother, whatever. Please don't think I'm saying that's something bad. I'm just saying people say mean things. And
Money doesn't grow on trees.
yeah, money doesn't grow on trees. You got to work hard, and even then, it's a hard scrabble life. It's hard. You live, you work hard, and then you die. Well, those are things you might have grown up hearing, and even if you hated hearing it, it goes deep into your subconscious, and you might be embracing that as that's the way it has to be. And I think I was doing that. Not that I grew up poor, but I grew up with that message of you have to work hard, you'll always have to work hard, da da da. But one thing I just tell you, like my angels finally said, Ivory, quit asking for it and thank us for it as if it already happened. And that was a turning point because I was saying different things out loud. I started saying, Angel, thank you for giving me plenty of money to pay my bills easily and on time, to save money, to have some fun in life. And just like that, boom, abundance started flowing in. So when you expect it, you thank your angels and God for it. I think it does shift that whole perspective, but this is about digging down. Take that shovel and dig down, like what's under all of those beliefs, because it's self-limiting. It's not true. Whatever it is, it's not true. There's plenty of people who grew up poor who make a good living now. There's plenty of people who had parents tell them self-limiting things and they grew up and really made something that they're proud of. So, don't let that ever hold you back. But that's another one, Tyrianne. Don't you think that a big one on that is often past lives? Like, I know for me, I've had a lot of lives as a nun and a monk. Taking those vows of poverty, it's very hard to sever those if you don't know they're there. You've got to consciously sever those in this current lifetime where you're not a nun or a monk.
Yes, and they come up in a past life regression or a spiritual hypnosis session. And people are amazed, like when they come out of it and they hear that, oh my gosh, is that where it was coming from? And so it is all tied in together. And the subconscious is very strong. Those programs, as you said, they run very deep in you, and whether they're yours or your ancestors, they run deep. So it is like a repeating pattern. And I always say, when I come back, I don't want to do it again. So I'm going to do all the work while I'm here because I'm not coming back.
I'm with you on that, sister. And another one that goes hand in hand with that is to have people who've had a lot of past lives as nuns, monks, priests, and taken vows of chastity. And so in this lifetime, you may find that you have, maybe you're considered to be cold, like you're not a sexual person. You might be asexual. You might be considered frigid, what they would call frigid, or have other sexual dysfunction, problems with relationships because of sexual issues, and you can't figure out anything in this lifetime that happened. I highly recommend you do past life regression because when I found out how many lifetimes I had as a nun and a monk, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't have so much of that issue with the chastity thing, but boy, I've known plenty of people who have, and finding that information out was what allowed them to finally have that aha moment. And then they started working through it, and everything started getting much better for them in that area.
And I do want to say, I had a client yesterday and he didn't think that he could be hypnotized. So I just want to go on the record and say that what you think hypnotism is not.
You're not asleep. You're not going to squawk like a chicken unless you want to squawk like a chicken. It's a deep relaxation. So if you want it, you can have it. But you don't have to go through past life regression unless you've exhausted every avenue. You've been trying for years to figure out what the core of your issue is. You've gone to counselors, you've gone to spiritual advisors, and you're getting nowhere with it. That's the time to go, hey, you know what? Let's look at some past life here. Why would you keep, what is that saying? It's insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expect different results. If you've tried and tried and it's not working, time to try something different. But the real problem is when people won't look at it, because then you doom yourself to a lifetime of the same thing, patterns, repeating patterns and cycles again and again. You will get into a relationship that's just like the last one. They may seem totally different, but you're going to realize it's the same thing over and over and over, whether it's romantic or business or work, personal relationships. You'll have those cycles that are negative until you get to the bottom of it. And so, what are some great ways to get to the bottom of this? I know you mentioned journaling and crying.
Yeah, I think first you would really need to do an honest review of what's holding you back. What are these patterns that continually come up for you? Whether it's in relationships or in your career or with your family, those are the things you really need to sit down with yourself and have a talk with yourself. What is it? Whether it's abandonment, lack, fear, worth, all of that. And then start working on it. So there's guided meditations that I do with my clients. There's theta healing. If you want to dive deeper into finding out really the core of that, journaling and looking at that. I think journaling is wonderful for everything. I have to go on the record and say that no matter what it is, I believe that when we write it out, it sort of releases it from our body.
I totally agree. I know for me, I think that, I shouldn't say for me, but in my experience, that for many people, they can't identify what their limitations are. But it's somebody who loves them and is kind, who will give them kind feedback, is a good way to go to them and say, what would you say are the things holding me back in life? And you can bet they've seen them. And they've just been waiting for you to ask if they haven't volunteered it already. So other people can see it easier than you might. And don't react in anger or be upset about honest feedback. It's a gift when somebody gives that to you. Just take it and think about it. Really dive into that and see if you can find the validity there, as well as figuring out where that started. You may need help with that. I mean, I don't think it's easy always to do this work, and sometimes just tuning in to realize, oh my gosh, I've been doing this my whole adult life, puts person into a little bit of shock and makes it hard for them to go further with it on their own.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's worth it. I feel 100%. I wouldn't do this work if I didn't feel that it was worth it to do it, because on the other side of that is this freedom and this happiness that you really truly can have once you let go of those limitations.
I think a core ingredient of this whole thing, I just had this flashback when I was driving through Prescott Valley the other day. I suddenly had a flashback to driving from my mental health office to this women's abuse shelter I used to volunteer. I would do their counseling blocks. And I loved the lady I'd been friends with who ran it for many years. And I was just so impressed with the counseling blocks they'd set up, because the core of them was to help these women see their part in how they got into the situation they're in. And they caught a lot of flack around the country for doing that. Like, you are telling these women that they're victims. No, they're helping empower them. Anyway, so they caught a lot of flack around the country because people thought that was mean to them, but the ladies were getting it. And I would see them, like, they would get it and I could see it in their face. And then it was a game changer, and they would start taking action, because when you are willing to accept your part in a situation you're in, you get your power back. Now you're in control. Here's how I had control and I got into it. Now I could see that I have the control to get out of it and avoid being in that again. And I think that's what's happening here, is even though it's painful to think about, what did I do to get involved in, let's say it's a damaging relationship. I probably saw some red flags early on and I ignored them. Things happened later and I could have ended it then, and I decided to stay for one reason or another. Those are just some examples, but we all have responsibility. We all have our part. So what is your part in the limitation that you have, whatever it may be? Take the power back for yourself. You know, when you can find that, when you're willing to admit it and see it and own it, you take your power back and you can make big changes in your life.
Absolutely.
Now that my computer is charging again, we're all good. the three of our energy together must have drained this thing like crazy. So any other thoughts of things that have come up about this? Things you want to say on this topic?
I just think the easiest thing is to always have the conversation within yourself of, be aware. You know, don't fall into unconscious behavior where you're not paying attention to how you're responding to things, how you're reacting. You know, you're having a bad day, you go off the deep end, etc. If we can just sort of take charge of our awareness, I think it's such a good tool to have, to be paying attention to what our feelings are and our motivations, etc.
I agree 100%. I think that's the bottom line right there. I want to thank you for joining us today. If you come up with questions you want to ask us, you can ask them at any time. We don't mind how many months it's been. You can send that to the email that's in the show description. And next week, tune in, because our topic is going to be dreams and your spiritual journey, how those fit in together. In the meantime, we hope you have an absolutely beautiful week. Thank you for listening to the Sedona Soul Sisters Show. If you'd like more information about the Sedona Soul Sisters and their services, visit their website at SedonaSoulSisters.com. Subscribe to our show here so you don't miss a thing. All of us at Sedona Soul Sisters hope you have an enlightening week.